At this point, I didn't really know the difference between like Sunni and Shia. The masjid that I went to was a Shia masjid.
I'm getting more knowledge. Why are they doing this? Islamophobes, they'll go ahead and use this. They look, yeah.
What you're bringing to our country.
Exactly.
Yes, some of the Gospels are attributed to Jesus' disciples, but scholars agree that they didn't write them.
I never heard the claim before that Paul didn't even claim to have seen Jesus on his road to Damascus.
The Bible, you have some of the Word of God. You have the Word of prophets in there. You have the Word of historians in the Bible. You have anonymous books. We don't even know who these authors are. It's a hodgepodge. It's all mixed together.
None of the Bible was composed by people who had met Jesus.
What you've been told about Islam is false by the media, you know? Like, just, you need to, everybody needs to do their own investigation of things.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Incredible story here with Ethan. Let's get into this video because it relates to the background that you came from and the journey that you took, and then we'll get right into it.
All right, I've got my Bible here, and I'm ready to read you absolutely every book of the Bible that was written by someone who had met Jesus. We can go ahead and skip the Hebrew Bible since Jesus wasn't alive when that was written and go straight to the New Testament. You ready? Not a single word. There is not one book of the Bible that was written by someone who had met Jesus. Yes, some of the Gospels are attributed to Jesus' disciples, but scholars agree that they didn't write them. They were written decades after Jesus' death. The earliest Gospel that we have in the New Testament is the Gospel of Mark, and it was probably written around 70 of the Common Era. The attribution of those Gospels to disciples didn't happen for many years. They also don't read like eyewitness accounts and don't even claim to have been written by the disciples. Paul's letters weren't written by someone who had met Jesus. Paul, by his own admission, had never met Jesus. And even that great narrative we have about Saul encountering the risen Christ on the road to Damascus is something that the author of Luke Acts, the same author wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, it's something that he invented for the narrative. Paul never makes a mention of that, and surely if he had encountered the risen Christ, he would have mentioned it. All of the other epistles in the Bible are later, and the book of Revelation is later. None of those authors had ever met Jesus. Now, some people argue that since Jesus is the Word of God, Jesus was involved in the creation of the entire Bible. But that's a theological argument that there doesn't seem to be much evidence for. And certainly, historically, we can prove that none of the Bible was composed by people who had met Jesus. So I think that that means we need to approach the biblical text with a bit of humility. And we also need to approach the sayings of Jesus with some humility too, because it means that not every saying attributed to Jesus originated with him.
Ethan, your thoughts. The first thing I started to think is like, that's not a Muslim speaking.
SubhanAllah. Who was that? Do you know?
I don't know who it is. I don't know if he's what form denomination of Christianity is, but this is nothing new to me. I don't know if it was new. Did you know this? Because as a Christian, your father was a Catholic, your mother was Baptist, and at that time, did you know these things?
No, they didn't talk about it much in the church growing up.
Yeah,
but I've come to know about it more recently. SubhanAllah.
You just start knowing this now.
Like more. Maybe like after I reverted. Actually.
Yeah. What were your thoughts when you hear that?
Like, why would I put my salvation in that? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and also about Paul. I never heard the claim before that Paul didn't even claim to have seen Jesus on his road to Damascus, but that the author of Luke wrote it. But even if Paul did say that, why would I believe him? Mm-hmm. You know, like, It said that there were witnesses, but we don't have any accounts from the witnesses. And yeah, like if I'm gonna put my faith into something that like with the New Testament being like the majority of the New Testament being made up of Paul's letters, and Paul having never met Jesus, and only claiming to have had a vision from Jesus and to be inspired by Jesus, why would I take my entire religion from him?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have any evidence,
yeah,
like that he's an actual disciple or apostle of Jesus.
How was it growing up in a home where you had your father? He's Catholic, mother's Baptist. These are two different theologies here, right?
Yeah, it was mostly my mom raised us as Baptist. I went to mass with my father a couple times growing up, but he mostly just kept it to him. Like the I didn't really know a whole lot about the differences between the theologies growing up. I just kind of knew that we were Christian.
He really wasn't. Were they practicing?
Yeah, they were practicing. My dad, he goes to mass quite a bit, but he never took us. Mm-hmm. Like he took me a couple times, like I said, but like he would go to mass and to into the Baptist church with us.
Yeah.
So I guess they agreed just to have us raised as Baptists.
How did you end up becoming agnostic when you have two parents who are obviously one's Catholic, one's Christian? You think, okay, I'm gonna go to one of them's got to be the truth, is it?
Yeah.
Or they're just you figured out no, neither one is.
Yeah. I just started having doubts in Christianity when I was like 14, 15, somewhere around there. Just like, you know, looking back, I believe it was like my fitrah, but like just questions like I would bring out like in my youth group at Sunday school, I would bring up like, okay, well, if Jesus is God, why do you have to pray? And stuff like that, and like, what's the like? It says God is one in the Old Testament. Why? What is a Trinity? You know, mm-hmm. Like what's the Holy Spirit, and stuff like that. And along with like, just like prophecies from the Old Testament, and it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me at the time. So I became agnostic at about 14, 15.
That was it. You were like, I had enough. And agnostic, for people that don't know, that's kind of like borderline atheist almost.
Yeah. I don't think anybody can be truly atheist. Me because either, you can't prove that God doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have said that I was an agnostic back then.
Mm-hmm. You would what? You would have said, I'm agnostic?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you, agnostic? Just,
I don't know.
You're just confused.
Yeah, I was confused.
Okay, and how long did that last?
8 years.
8 years.
Mm.
And then at what point were you were telling me that you started to really question, like, okay, this world is not conceivable, that it just came by chance.
Yeah. Like, I started just reflecting upon, like, the creation of Allah, you know? The, like, looking at the world around me, like, if everything is, like, a random occurrence, why are things beautiful? Like, why do I, when I look at myself in the mirror, why am I, like, symmetric down the middle and, like, have, like, these, like, perfectly designed bodily functions, that I can live without, like, sustaining myself? All of these things just happen within me without me having to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of the ayah in the beginning of Surah Baqarah. When Allah says, like, how could you disbelieve in your Lord when you were created from nothing? May Allah forgive me if I butchered that verse.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I like reflect upon it now, like it's as if like yesterday I didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know? And then now I just popped into existence, and then someday I'm gonna die, and it just doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, There must be a reason that I'm alive, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how did you start to experiment with other religions? You have All these different man-made religions out there. Buddhism, you have Sikhism, you have Hinduism, you have all these rock worship now, the energies, you know, the crystals. It just, you know, or some people believe in God, but they say, look, I'm spiritual, right? So it's easy cop out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just do my own thing and say, okay, I believe in God, but
I'm a good person.
Yeah. So did you go through that phase? What was next?
I kind of just kept it to the monotheistic religions because, like, it doesn't make sense that, like, okay, God's like, there's multiple gods, and then there's like one that is kind of like the governor over all of them. Like, if there's a God, then there has to be like an origin, like everything has to have an origin in one place, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense that like Zeus or Hermes had existed for eternity or something like that, or like God became like Vishnu or something. Yeah. like a blue guy or like a monkey. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So yeah, I just kind of looked into the Abrahamic faiths, and the way I kind of like boiled it down from there is like, with Judaism, like it's like different opinions on if you can actually join in or not. And like, why would I believe in a religion where like God, only like a few chosen people are going to be sent to heaven, and then the rest of the people are just kind of like their servants.
Mm-hmm.
And with Christianity, like what I mentioned earlier, like the concept of God having a son and God being like three in one. He's three, but he's one at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He's three when you want him to be three, but one when you want him to be one. And when I kind of like looked into the evidences of Islam, like the miracles of the Quran and stuff, like if I couldn't disprove them, then it had to be true, you know? So that's kind of what led me to Islam. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Unpackaging in that, from when I think about that, there's just so many things that are just on point. When you look at the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he's offered, you know, to be the king of the Arabs, when he's offered money, women, power, status, why? What's the motive?
Like, exactly.
For what reason? Why?
What motivation would he have to do this? To suffer for 10 years and so be like...
He was well off.
And to have rocks thrown at him by kids.
Exactly. You know? I mean, you just look at his life and you see it's totally dedicated to calling people to pure, absolute monotheism. And then all these other things, prophecies... You know, certain things like, you know, check, he's got this right, check. Oh, he took it from the Greeks. Oh, he took it from, I mean, come on. I mean, all right, let's say one thing, but another thing. And that's when I started to look at it. I said, come on, how this is accurate. The next thing is accurate. This prophet, it came on point, you know, from the Quran to the Sira to his life. You know, there's just miracles that you had abundance of people who... miracles done, and you had so many groups of people who were there witnessing it. You had it's like they'd have to be conspiring all, because we often talk about the miracles of Jesus, that because of these miracles, because of the Quran, we believe these miracles of Jesus. But then also the Quran is a miracle, but Prophet Muhammad, he also did miracles that were witnessed by, you know, so many people, hundreds of people. So they're all lying, they're all conspiring.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense.
And then, like, when you bring this up to people, they're like, okay, well, I don't believe what these people say around him, because they were just on his side. They were just trying to, like, promote the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if you're gonna not believe the people of the society that somebody, like, is born into, then you're not gonna believe, like, what the companions of Jesus said about Jesus, alayhi salam.
Exactly.
And of most of history.
And the message, it goes right in line with what Jesus taught. There's only one God. He didn't say worship him, worship anyone other than the one who created the universe and everything. And it's the same thing as Moses, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Same thing with Jesus and Prophet Muhammad, worship no God but the one God. That's
simple.
Simple. And be morally upright. That's it. And that connected with... the concept of the fitra that you were telling me about. Talk about that a little bit.
It's like when I heard about it, it resonated with me so well. Like just like every person, the concept of the fitra is like every person is born with these innate beliefs that they're not taught, but that they're given by God. Like the, like just being it, like, for example, knowing something that, like the law of non-contradiction, like knowing that, okay, I have a glass here and it's full of water. I know that it is full of water and it can't not be full of water. That's something that we're given by God, like to have this logic. And another one of those things is that Allah is one, that God is one. And it makes sense logically. And it makes sense. Like when you tell somebody that God is one, they never are taken aback, you know, like they're never opposed to it, but they'll often try to argue like why God is one in this religion or why God is one in this other religion. But like, it's an example of like how it's an innate belief in all people.
So it took you around 2 months of investigating. How did you come to the point, because to investigating Islam, how did you even get to looking, because there's so much negative press, media, there's a whole industry not revolved around bashing Hinduism or Judaism or any other religion, but Islam. You literally have people who are career Islam haters, Islamophobes. They make a living off of this. So there's so much false information out there. How did you even get to the point where you're like, okay, that's like the last thing. And you got people out there who are like begging that, I hope they're looking for the truth. Like, God, please, may it not be Islam. Why? Because, okay, it's going to be a challenge now to uphold the truth with all of the people who have all these misconceptions. But at the end, they're sincere and they see, no, it is the truth. And then if they're tested with it, then they end up, if they're sincere, genuine, then they go ahead and follow it, right? If you're not, then you're going to be led to wherever your desires take you, wherever you want to go, opposite of truth. So what was it? How did you get to the point where you're like, okay, I got to look into Islam?
Just like what you said, like about the misinformation, it kind of got me curious in Islam, because I would hear all of this stuff like bashing Islam and stuff, and then I would see Muslims and how they act, and it's like polar opposite. Mm. So that got me curious, like somebody's lying. I need to figure out what's up here. And just like the more I researched into Islam, the more I found that what the media was saying was false. And I was like, well, you know, there must be a reason why they're lying about this. Mm. So,
100%. Many people, exact same thing. They see like, hold on, when they actually, but most people don't stop, pick up the Quran, go to a Muslim scholar, ask the questions. Most people don't do that. So they just hook, line, and sinker. They just take in what the lies that are put out there. But you're
Allah guide us.
I mean, so, but you did the opposite. You're like, hold on, let me look into it myself. I did the same thing. And then you're seeing it's promoting opposite to what is being said Islam is.
And you know, it kind of made sense. Like when you look back at the stories of the prophets, like with, for example, Musa alayhi salam, like the people of Fir'aun, like they hated him. Mm-hmm. You know, like the majority of the people at the time, they wanted to persecute like the believers. And like, what's going, like, where do you see an example of that today? Is mm-hmm. this the Muslims?
Same thing. If you want to give an example, those who truly followed Jesus, peace be upon him, who were monotheists, and they were persecuted. They were also, they were people who were on the truth. You just mentioned the people who followed Moses. They were believers. They were Muslims, submitters to one God, the followers of Jesus, the true followers at that time, who were submitters to only one God, not Trinity, God dying, for all these things that were introduced later. But you'll see that they were persecuted. They were fed in the arenas to the lions, and they were the games were done, and torture of these people who are on the truth.
SubhanAllah.
And now you have Muslims who are trying to follow the same way that they were upon, that all the prophets were upon, one God, worship him alone, Islam, submission to his will. And you see the same thing where you have misinformation, and they're looked, oh, these are terrorists, you're going to be a part of a terrorist religion, all this other nonsense. But you were intelligent enough, sincere enough to see through all that. And then you end up taking your shahada. But this is a very interesting twist now. You took your shahada twice.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. So you end up in a masjid, and something didn't jive.
Yeah, like when I didn't, nobody really told me about Islam. I kind of like came to it through my own research. So I only knew one Muslim at the time, and like, so I told him that I want to be Muslim, and he was like, "Are you sure?" Like, he was kind of taken aback. He was like, you need to pray 5 times a day and stuff like that." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I'm convinced at this point." And then he took me to his masjid, and at this point, I didn't really know the difference between like Sunni and Shia. Islam, I kind of was like, you know, it's probably the same thing. Like, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, it was kind of different than what I saw like in my research, like the way that they prayed and stuff. And so like they would pray with the, so the masjid that I went to was a Shia masjid. So I was like, okay, well, let me see what this is about. I don't really know the difference between like them, like I said. But you know, just it felt kind of off. Like they brought up the difference like really early. They were like, okay, like,
it started with the Shahada. You said something about when you took the Shahada.
Yeah, I took the Shahada like probably my second day there.
Yeah,
when I first went there, like I prayed with them, and they prayed with like they only put their head on a rock.
Why do you Shia prostrate on the earth of Karbala?
Shia people pray with this kind of stones.
Oh, wow.
Sunni people don't even see this. They are very surprised when I tell them.
Where you walk inside, you will find these baskets and have many of these things.
Like, they did the, I don't know what it's called, but they beat their chest. And they call upon Ali and Hussein, mm-hmm. Hussein, and it just like it felt a little off to me, you know. Like I come from like a Christian family, and I'm like, all right, I'm not worshiping a man anymore. I'm only worshiping Allah.
No more man worship.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and like that just like, It gave me a bad feeling. And then I took the Shahada with them, and then they had me say the normal Shahada, like Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. And then I forget in Arabic, but they also had me say after that, Ali is the divinely appointed successor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this isn't the Shahada I know.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to a Sunni masjid after that, and took my Shahada like eventually after that, but there was a couple steps in between.
You got many people probably in that same predicament. They don't know the difference.
Yeah.
And then they end up, so this is a good example. I want to show a video here, if we can find one, that you'll see. I remember in my journey, I had my old partner, actually, he was his family was Muslim, wasn't practicing, and then as I started practicing, he was asking me, why are these Muslims? So he's Muslim, he was actually Shia, he didn't even know the difference also. So we can't like generalize and put a general blanket statement on everyone. This is a really profound example here. He's my partner. We're both, you know, background Muslim. He's Shia. And he's like, why are they, Eddie, as I'm getting more knowledge, why are they doing this? Doing what? They're beating themselves. Because that also goes against that.
He was asking that?
He was asking that. And I was like, what are you talking about? So I'm at a point where like, okay, I don't want to just deny something if it's a part of the religion. Let me look into it.
Yeah.
But usually you'll find strange, weird things. This is something that man has introduced into the religion. So
yeah.
If we can find a clip and you can see these practices that have nothing to do with Islam. Beating of oneself, and you see this,
and they get extreme sometimes.
Very extreme, yeah. So this is, and then you'll have non-Muslims, Islamophobes. They'll go ahead and use this. They look, these
this
are
is what you're bringing to our country.
Exactly. Yes, right? It has nothing to do with Islam. Yeah. So now what happens? So you go through this, and then you end up, you're like, okay, this doesn't jive. This is not it. Where do you go from there?
After that, like I said, I went to a Sunni masjid. Well, before that, at the same time, I had, told my parents that I wanted, I was Muslim now. I tried to, after I had accepted Islam, the truth was so clear to me, my iman was really high, you know, I saw these evidences, and, how could anybody deny this, you know? Mm-hmm. I tried to show it to I was like, okay, so everybody's going to believe me now. And that ended up not being the case.
Yeah.
So when I showed it to my family, there was some pushback and stuff like that. And then my mom ended up having me on a call with Christian apologists to bring me back to Christianity.
So your own mother now, she's trying to pull you and sway you away from Islam, and she connects you with career Islamophobes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And subhanAllah, I find it interesting how she didn't do this when I was agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But side point, but
that's a good point. So now you're borderline almost atheist, you're going away totally from God.
Yeah.
And you're in doubt. Why not at that point try to, you know, persuade you that there is a God away from, but now that you're Muslim going towards Islam, she gets these are the biggest devils, man. These guys.
I mean, not gonna lie, she did try to give me back into Christianity when I was younger, but there was a long period of time where there was really nothing.
But don't give up. I mean, how is she? Because I've seen this happen over and over. When they start to see, because of the misinformation, your mother, and maybe she'll watch this, and she has nothing to fear, because now she's gonna see that probably. You are. I just had recently a brother. I don't know if you met Adrian. You know Adrian. He's from that St. Pete community.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He talks about that his parents are now curious about Islam. Why? Because they're seeing that in Islam, this is what they wanted him to be. But now they couldn't get that.
Alhamdulillah.
But now they have it. Now it's in a different packaging.
Alhamdulillah.
So you're respectful to your mother. You're kind to her, and you're showing through your character that, hey, there's nothing to fear, but you're actually gained something. You're found the way of truth that hopefully she can come to also.
May Allah make me a better example of Islam.
I mean, all of us. I mean, yeah, we're all works in progress. Yeah. So what happens now? So you go and this is just touching upon this. Usually we end up, and I went through this, so people can learn from my experiences, yours. You end up wanting everyone now to see, to be on your spiritual time clock, to see okay, this is it. And sometimes we won't act right, and then that gives, we have to be patient, we have to, you know, show Islam through our behavior and whatnot, and then we're human beings, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I kind of turned some people off in the beginning.
Exactly, yeah. I kind of had to learn the hard way to, Allah says that you don't guide who you want, Allah guides whom He wills.
Yep.
You know, and because, you know, there's a consequence at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. People are going to be in Jannah or Jahannam.
Yep.
You know, so you don't want, especially these close people around you. You want to get them to see the truth, because, you know, if they're going to stay on the path that they are now, where they're going to end up. But, you know, just you have to be patient with them, like you said.
This is interesting. We don't have to mention any names, but this is the top Islamophobe probably in the world. He's out there who is making a career of bashing Islam.
Yeah.
You have two meetings with him and another career Islam hater.
Yeah.
And then he ends up at the end, it doesn't go his way, so he insults your mother.
Well, something like that. Well,
something like that, that she's the one that actually set it up, but then at the end, he started to be really obnoxious.
Well, yeah, so I had like 3 weeks into me being Muslim, my mom had set up these meetings with these people. I didn't know who they were at the time, and I don't think she knew either. Mm-hmm. But I had the meetings with them, and they started bringing doubt after doubt, trying to get me to denounce Islam. And I remember one of the things that they said that stuck with me, like, you're not going to be, they were like, you're not going to be able to ask any questions, you know? Mm-hmm. They're going to try to teach you to, like, that you're going to just have to be quiet and, like, accept what they, and they try to bring, like, an ayah that, like, supports their belief and stuff like that. But, like, when I went to the masjid after that, I was like, this is the complete opposite of what they're saying.
So they're saying they're going to just shut you up and you can't question, but then you go to the mosque, masjid.
I ask all the questions.
You're asking all the questions. Yeah. Are you getting answers?
Yeah.
Is someone telling you, shut up, be quiet?
No. Yeah. What's subhanAllah? Like, yeah, I had two me's with them. Obviously, I didn't really have all the answers to the doubts because I was 3 weeks into being a Muslim.
Yeah.
And then, subhanAllah, like... I had found that this same person, I was doing like research online. I found that this same person was, had a dialogue with this guy I ended up later knowing to be Sheikh Uthman. May Allah reward him. He's answered a lot of doubts.
Ameen.
And, so like before that, like I had, so they like brought all these doubts. And I remember they also brought like some manuscript of like an old Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that had like Allah written above the margins or something, and they were like, "Look, it wasn't always preserved because, like, they added this in. They added Allah in here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean." And I ended up later learning like that. Like this was a, I think it was a one of the Sana'a manuscripts,
mm-hmm.
and that's a proof for the preservation of the Quran.
Yeah,
if people want to look into that,
mm-hmm.
but I'd sent to them like, okay, if you guys are upon the truth and you have the, like, you have the evidences to for Islam to be false, why don't you like talk to the actual like knowledgeable people that are on the subject and get this debate settled, you know? And they were basically like, yeah, well, you know, nobody wants to debate with us, like they all turn us down. And then I found this video with Sheikh Uthman, and he said in the video like, yeah, if you ever want to come to my, like, talking to this specific guy that I was on the call with, you should just come over to my house and we'll have a discussion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, like, I texted him over Zoom or something. I kind of, like, called him out on it, and I was like, hey, like you said that nobody is wanting to debate you. Like, well, here you go. Like, what do you want to do this? And he was like, he just kind of insulted me. And I kind of, like, me and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, like, found out that was a reoccurring thing that comes from this person.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
But did they, it was two of them?
Yeah.
Did they at all, how much time did they spend bashing Islam versus trying to show you the teachings of Christianity, of what they were upon? How much, what kind of balance was it?
They probably spent like 2% of the time talking about Christianity.
Uh-huh. The whole time was just bashing, trying to poke holes in Islam, you know, half-truths and some deliberate lies, mixing things up, that if you sit with a scholar, you sit with someone, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and I end up getting the answers to my doubts.
You ended up amazing, and that, okay. So then you, alhamdulillah, now you're here. You ended up taking shahada again.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Actually, I think three times, because the first one, the Shia masjid, and then the second one, I called the OMF Foundation with Sheikh Uthman because I was like, all right, this guy's got the answers.
Yeah.
So, like, I think somebody that worked there answered the phone, and we ended up having like a 2-hour conversation. He like answered the doubts and showed me some of the miracles of Islam, alhamdulillah. And then like I started talking about like I forget the name, but like I was asking questions like, all right, so are jinn like dead people? And he was like, no. Like I was like, what is the grave? And he was like, he started explaining like the barzakh and like how like people are in this other world, for lack of a better word. Like when they die, it's not like actual, they're not literally in their grave, like their soul. And like I was like, all right, well, is that like how the Kaaba? There's like a Kaaba in the heavens. Like there's a Kaaba on earth. And he was like, well, you're talking to me about this. Like why haven't you taken your shahada yet? And so I ended up taking my shahada on the phone there, and then I ended up taking it again at a masjid.
Mm-hmm. And for the people who are hearing this word for the first time, shahada, that's the same declaration of faith that you would have said during the time of Jesus. You would have just said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah, Jesus is the messenger. During Moses' time, you would have said the same thing, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator, Allah, Moses is the messenger. And today, if you want to be upon that truth, salvation, get to paradise, avoid the hellfire. It's what you did. You took the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You can say it now. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one creator, God Almighty Allah, and Muhammad is the final messenger sent for all of mankind, for Trump, for these Islamophobes. He is the messenger till the end of time. No more messengers to come.
SubhanAllah. And we don't make a distinction between any of the messengers.
It's very straightforward. What would you say to people who are out there now? They're seeing you, former Christian. You come from father, mother, Catholic, Baptist, and now they're also struggling with this whole Trinity, God being a man, God having a son. But then they look at Islam, they tune it in now, and they're like, okay, I have a void in my heart, but there's all of these negative things associated with Islam. What advice do you have for them?
Just what you've been told about Islam is false by the media, you know? Like, just, everybody needs to do their own investigation of, because this is the most important venture that you could delve into in your life. Like, if like the analogy of the train, I'm sure you've heard it before, like if somebody put a bag over your head and like brought you to this random location and they took the bag off your head and you ended up being on a train, and there's all these people around you, and there's people enjoying themselves, like having drinks, eating food, like having a good time, and you're sitting there like, where am I? Like, why am I here and where am I going? And this is the situation that you're in, like in your life. Like, one day you're not going to be, like one day you're going to get to your destination, you're not going to be on the train anymore. So like at that time, like what you did in your life is going to be an evidence for you or against you when you stand before God. So, you know, like these things, like I know some people they're interested in Islam, but they're scared of like what their family's going to say, like
repercussions. Yeah.
But that, like on the day of judgment, you know, when everything's like real, like this is like everything's actually happening now, like it's not going to matter. Like you're going to wish that you weren't like fooled back then, that you weren't like scared of accepting the truth, because it's the, I don't know how to put it, like the it's always been the majority has been against the believers for all of history. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's really great advice, and it's I'm always amazed. I've interviewed so many people and hear the story, and when a person is genuine, sincere, they're looking for the truth. And at any time, were you ever praying to other than God? Did you ever ask God, guide me? Did you ever make a prayer like, just guide me? I want to know, like, in what words did you put it if you did?
Yeah, like, you know, after I had done some research into Islam, like, I was still upon some jahiliya, which means, like ignorance. You know, I was doing actions of ignorance, you know, like, and I was kind of just, like, not depressed, but, you know, like not liking the way my life was going.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I kind of knew in the back of my mind, like, Islam was the truth. So, I knew, like, Muslims made sujood. So
that's the prostration.
Yeah, where you submit yourself to God, and when you're in the prostration, you say, "Glory be to my Lord, the Most High."
Yeah,
and when you're in the lowest point and you know you realize that God is in the highest point, you're submitted. It's just beautiful, like as a side point. But so I made sujood, and I don't really like to use like personal experiences as an evidence for Islam, but I had like a personal experience that kind of like affirmed that Islam was the truth in my heart. Like I kind of like asked a question in my mind, and then got Allah like answered me like immediately. You know, alhamdulillah. But everybody has their personal experience, but just my advice would just be, you know, like don't if we all know that we have a God. We have one God. We have one thing. Something created us. If you call upon that thing that created you alone, what's wrong in that? There's nothing that you can go wrong with there. Mm-hmm. So if you call upon whatever created you, whatever put you here, if you call upon that alone, sincerely, God will guide you to the truth. Like, I swear to God.
Mm-hmm. And then when you made that prostration, and there's in Matthew 26:39, it says that he, Jesus, went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed to who? Himself? Yep. No, he prayed to God.
Yep.
So you did that. You made sajda, you made prostration, and in there you were asking for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the homework right there. That's it for everybody. I mean, I tell people this often. I say, look, it's very straightforward. It's simple. Go ahead and ask. If you're lost somewhere, you need directions, you ask for help, you ask for guidance. Ask for guidance. What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why have I been created? And then you look into the Quran, and like we opened up in the beginning with this video from this Christian, not Muslim, who's telling us that Jesus's words, or this is...
We don't know if it's Jesus' words.
We don't know who wrote these books, and anonymous authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's according to, they didn't write these books. But is the Quran like that?
Absolutely not.
What's the difference?
The Quran is the word of Allah, the words of Allah, literally spoken by Allah. And the Christians will say that the Bible is the word of God. But when you bring to them contradictions, they'll say, okay, well, not all of it's the word of God, but only these certain passages. And that has contradictions, but no contradictions that affect our faith, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, many people don't know. See, we agree. In the Bible, you have some of the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. We say this, yes. The Quran would confirm this, one God. You have the word of prophets in there. You have the word of historians in the Bible. You have anonymous books. We don't even know who these authors are. It's a hodgepodge. It's all mixed together. See, the Quran, word of God. Then you have the statements, authentic statements of Prophet Muhammad. Then you have historical books. They're all separate. So the Quran is the only book out there compiled over 23 years that is making the claim, and you can test it. It's literally the verbatim words of the creator of the heavens and the earth.
SubhanAllah.
That's very powerful.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
It was something that was very profound to me,
mm-hmm,
when I first read the Quran, because especially the New Testament, when you read it, it's telling a story about Isa alayhi salam, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really like, it's almost like a biography. But when you read in the Quran, it's like Allah is talking to you directly. Like, verses will say, all you who believe, fear Allah, etc. And because Allah is the one that created all of us, and Allah wrote the Quran was written for you, you know? Allah intended for you to read these words, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I can give, because we often, for those that have never heard this before, the Quran is also a living miracle because of its preservation, authenticity. And you're not an Arab, I'm not an Arab, but every Muslim is inspiring to memorize, and that's how it's been preserved, some of the Quran. And I bet you if I ask you right now to recite some of the Quran, you can recite something for me.
Inshallah.
Go ahead. The opening chapter?
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahir Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
MashaAllah. So this is the opening chapter of the Quran, calling upon God alone, saying all praises to God. You alone we worship, you alone we... Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment, you alone we worship, you alone we seek for help. Guide us on the straight path, right there. That's where I'm going to stop it. Guide us on the straight path. That's the formula to get guidance, is asking for guidance. And this, hopefully, story can be a help for so many people who are struggling right now. They don't know the purpose of life. They need the blueprint for life. And you're upon that right now, living Islam. Inshallah. You got through all of the, you had meetings with the top Islam haters in the world, literally, right? And you were sincere. You made sajda. You prostrated like Jesus did. You asked God Almighty Allah to guide you, and you're here. Alhamdulillah. That's the formula. It's not complicated. It's not. You just gotta be sincere and ask.
Just be sincere.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
Thank you, brother.
Jazakallah khair.
Amin wiyak. And thank you guys. And I want to give you a gift free on me to you. Go to thedeanshow.com and get yourself a copy of this book, the meaning of the book, the Quran, at thedeanshow.com. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.